Welcome, everyone. It's the anointing of God. That's what it's all about. I love our theme song. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are glad that you are joining us today for this live radio broadcast. We always love teaching the Word of God and bringing you some great contemporary Christian music and just chatting with our radio team members and sharing what God is doing in our lives and how it relates to what we're studying right now in the Word. And it's just always great fun. We're in our eighth year on this radio station. We're excited about it. And we are just moving forward into a new day in God. And I have with me one of our radio team members here in the studio today, live, Nan Watson.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I know you're good. I'm good, yes. And Carol will be joining us in just a little while from Georgia. And we always enjoy having Carol join us. It's always good. So we are going to have a great time today together. Ah, hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I don't know if the video is not coming through in here. So we'll see what's going on. All right. It's coming now. Okay. So you can always switch over from the AM channel, the 1340 AM, to the internet. And catch us live, complete with video, at www.tantalk1340.com. Tantalk1340.com. And so we encourage you to do that if you'd like. And you can see Nan sitting right here to my right,
I guess. Right. Yeah. Can I show off my shirt?
Please do. Yeah, just stand up there so the camera can get
you. Okay, camera, get the shirt. It's Megan's shirt about Grayson. Hey, Megan, I'm going to let you know I'm wearing the shirt. The radio station. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's pretty cool. And we had those made, or she had those made for the celebration, memorial celebration of little Grayson, and we've talked about him on the air, and people know that he went to be with the Lord after living just less than a day back in April. And but yeah, you've got your Grayson shirt on today.
I have my Grayson shirt on today,
and it's also for the cause because Grayson passed away due to congenital diaphragmatic hernia disorder, which is more common than people would even realize. How many babies are born with this, and most of them struggle very much to make it. So Megan is working really very diligently in that cause now. And representing the state of Indiana and some different things going on for that cause. So we'll talk to more about that with Megan on another show when she's on. But pretty cool. We supported them through the all of this that happened as far as in prayer and and with our calls and our support and that kind of thing. And it was a difficult time, but today we are in Joshua, and we are going on with where we are. Nan, this is exciting stuff in Joshua 4 and 5.
Yes, I didn't know there could be such exciting stuff in the Old Testament. I have a tendency to hang out in the New Testament, you know. But,
there is exciting stuff in the Old Testament. What does that do for us when we read these stories?
Increases our faith.
Oh, doesn't it?
Increases our faith.
Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So our faith is increased as we hear the Word of God, as we learn these stories. And these things are just amazing how God moved in the Old Testament, not just the New.
Right. We're learning so much in Joshua right now.
We really
are.
Awesome. It's a new day, and we're crossing into the Promised Land. The Promised Land is symbolic for that new day in God and where He's taking us. He's taking us individually. Mm-hmm. I know He is in me, and I know He is in you, Nan, and some of the rest of us. I'm sure He is in Carol and all of our radio team. But God's got some good things He's doing in our lives, and that's pretty exciting, don't you think?
It is pretty exciting. You know, He's made promises to Beacon. right. collectively.
Yes.
And as you made reference, he's also making promises to us individually. I know that he's yes. been dealing with me. He's made promises to me actually in the past, and he's reiterating again that I made these promises to you. They're still there. They're for you.
Right.
Trust me and believe it. You know, it's like my faith increases, as does yours. There again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, but by the word,
right.
by the written word, the Bible, and also, as I'm sure you'll probably touch on a little bit today, the journaling, as
yes.
he speaks to us, as we spend our quiet time with him, he will speak to us,
right.
and he will, and we can write down those things he shares. That also is his word to you.
Amen. And we're doing that at Beacon of Hope. Nobody has to do it, but we invite you to join us in purchasing a journal. You've bought quite a few for our church family right now. Just a little journal, mm-hmm. any kind. Mine, the one that I've been using for years, this kind, I buy them at Staples. That's not a commercial. That's just a fact. And but these are great just to write down what God is saying to you right. versus the scripture that pop out at you. Mm-hmm. Why does God do that as far as causing scriptures to be kind of noticeable, quote unquote?
Well, I think, well, obviously he brings the scriptures to us that we need to hear at that point in time.
Amen.
And we're supposed to stand, as I think there were some words spoken this morning in the moving and the service to someone. But we stand on the word. We stand on the word.
Stand on the word.
And, you know, there's certain ones that he's brought to my mind that he also can bring back to my mind, you know.
Right.
But just stand on the word. He will give you that, as you spoke, Rhema word.
Yeah.
He gives that through different ways.
Right.
To us, one of the ways is individually when we're spending quiet time with him. That is
right.
a fresh anointed word for us for that moment of dealing with whatever we happen to be dealing with at that particular time.
Exactly. So let's make that teaching point before we go to our first song here. All the word of God is, the Greek word is used for all the word of God is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S. And that's just any part of the Bible. But when a passage stands out to you, when it hits you between the eyes mm-hmm. and in your heart, and in your big toe. And when you feel like, whoa, oh, I'm teasing about the big toe. But when you feel like, you know, wow, that scripture is for me. That's mm-hmm. called a rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema word from God. And those are the ones we're encouraging you to write in a journal and keep it, put a date on it that God said, God brought this passage or this verse alive to you because, oh my, will it ever change you? Woo, praise God. We're going to start the show today with a song by the group For Him, and this song really fits and sets the tone for what we want to do today. Where there is faith, where there is faith.
I believe in faithfulness. I believe in giving up myself for some. For all that I
fall and our stability grows weak, but Jesus meets our needs.
Praise God. I like that song by the group For Him. Boy, that just talks about walking in faith in this spiritual journey that we're on. And you, my friend out there, whether or not it, all this may be a little new to you as we talk about the promised land here in the book of Joshua, it's a journey. We're all on a journey. This show is based on Jeremiah 29:11-14, Nan. Clear back in April of 07 when we had our first show, Connie and Nathan and I, clear back then, we based this whole show, Living the Good Life, on that verse, that concept. It says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, to give you a future and hope. You know, that's what it's all about. God's got plans for every single one of our listeners, Nan. He's got plans for you, and he's got plans for me, and he had plans for Joshua and the children of Israel in this book of Joshua. Kind of exciting, don't you think?
It is kind of exciting.
Does God care about all the details of your life?
He, thank goodness he does. I need him to care for the details of my life.
He does, doesn't he?
He does.
And where there's faith, we just move forward. You know, you got something?
I got a little, just a little two-verse poem.
Good.
Do you have faith? You can depend on me. Trust. Go ahead and do it. It will grow as you believe.
Ooh.
Everyone is on a different level. That is certainly okay. Yours may not be exactly like another's, but trust me, look to me and pray. And yeah. I think sometimes I just kind of feeling as the Lord gave that sometimes there may be some people listening like, well, geez, I don't have the faith of Pastor Marsha. Well, you know, you've been doing this for a really long time and you've been
all my life, really.
Exactly. You know, everyone's on a different level of faith, and it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. The most important thing about having the faith is doing as Joshua did, move forward as the Lord directed him and had faith and believed that he was hearing from God.
Absolutely.
And that's just what people need to do as the Lord leads them and they realize they need to have faith for something. Move forward in the faith of the level where you are. It's okay. We're all not on the same level.
We're not on the same level at all. And we are in the book of Joshua, and Joshua is the one who succeeds Moses. Moses dies at the age of 120. Joshua is actually 80 years old when he took the helm of the children of Israel and became the leader, the one who led them into the promised land. Moses was not the one who led them in the promised land. Moses had to put up with their 40 years of going around the same mountain over and over again. But Joshua is the one. He's trained with Moses. He's been Moses' right-hand man. And we see in Joshua chapter 1 that God says 7 times to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. Be strong and courageous. That is a word for this hour, Nan. Be strong and courageous. God keeps telling me that, that it takes courage to step out in faith and make changes, which we're doing at Beacon of Hope. And it takes strength to implement those changes, strength and courage. And that's what we're doing. So let's catch up with Joshua right now. Joshua has the whole group of people, the children of Israel. He has them camped beside the Jordan River. This is the same river that John the Baptist baptized in the New Testament. Jesus himself was baptized in this river. I love this. Isn't that great? And this is the place 1300 years before Jesus comes to this earth. This is about 1300 BC. We find the children of Israel camped on one side of the Jordan River. On the other side of the Jordan River is their promised land that they are to inherit. But in order to get there, they've got to get across this river without modern technology, without the ability to build bridges or anything like that. They've got to just believe God for a way to get across the river. And I just find this will preach, Nan. I mean, don't we so often feel like, oh, I've got the benefit of this and I got that as my crutch and I've got this and I've got my cell phone. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of lost without my smartphone. You know, I got to have it all the time for business as a realtor and also to minister to people. And also just to be in contact with people in my church and my loved ones and my children and grandchildren and all of that. And we would feel lost without that, you know?
Well, you know, I went through a period, the particular phone I had apparently had a fault that it wouldn't keep a charge.
Oh.
And
ooh, that'll preach too.
It was pretty bad. I know it really would preach. And it was a terrible feeling to be without my phone. I mean, I would charge it at night, and then I would charge it, and it would drain down my office, but I'd be charging it in my office while it's draining down, you know, back, and just to keep a charge on it, you know. And I work in Tampa, live in Clearwater. And it was a scary feeling for me. Not scary, but concerned feeling. Weird. Traveling across the causeway.
Right.
Going home without having a phone, knowing that if something happened, now I have a cable, I can plug it into my car. I have a different phone now, too.
Right.
But, you know, it was just, it was pretty bad. It was, it, you lost a connection. That would preach, too.
That would. But, you know, it would, yeah.
But, I mean, just without that, we become so accustomed to that. You know, I thought, what happens if I have an accident? Will the other person let me use their phone? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like, well, God just keep me safe. And he
did. Well, isn't it interesting that Joshua didn't have any of those benefits that we use as crutches? You know, that we need all that in our day and age. But 1,300 years before Jesus came to this earth, so that's about 3,300 years ago, here are the children of Israel sitting beside the Jordan River, and they got to get to the other side, which is their promised land where God has promised them they're going to go. He has not told them up until this point how they're going to get there. How often is that the case, Nan? That's been what's going on with us right now in the ministry.
It has been.
God's been making some bold statements to us to get out of the norm of what we expect, our comfort zone, and get out there and minister to more people. In fact, on our website, on our homepage, it says going outside our walls to reach people just as they are. With the love of Jesus. You know, that's what we're all about. Where they are and just where they are. As far as what they're thinking and all of that. That's what God is calling us to do at Beacon. Get out of those walls. Get out of that safety net. Mm-hmm. So here we have the children of Israel. They're out of Egypt, all right. They were there for 400 years as slaves. They walked around the same mountain for 40 years. Now they're sitting at the Jordan River. And they, in order to get to their promised land, they got to get across that river. And so interesting to me that this river could not have been more flooded than it was at this time of the year. It was harvest time, and it was in the fall, and the river always overflowed its banks. Okay, it was just like flooding the whole area. And so this is the time that God causes them to have to need to cross that river in flood stage. Wow.
Well, I think it, I mean, it is interesting that, like you have preached it, you can't have a miracle without an improbability.
Right.
So not only were they having to get across the river, they're having to get across the river at the largest the river can be. I mean, God just like put it all out there at that time so that it can even be more miraculous in what he did in getting them across there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this applies to our listeners today, that no matter what it is you're facing, getting to that other side of that issue, whatever it is, into the promised land God has for you. Maybe he's promised you a financial blessing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's promised you a life partner. Maybe he's promised you a child. Maybe he's promised you something in ministry. Mm-hmm. But getting from here to there can seem extremely daunting, don't you think? Like, almost like, God, I know you told me that, and I want to believe you, but boy, it seems really hard to get from here to there.
It is difficult when looking at, you know, you've had a promise, but you don't quite see how it's going to come to pass. You don't see it coming to pass. And you may even see, depending on what the promise is, you may even see circumstances going around backwards, making it worse, and if, you
right.
know, making it more challenging and difficult than what it was.
Right.
You just don't see it going in the right direction, but you have to continue having faith.
You got to have faith. Where faith is.
Well, like you've been preaching in Hebrews, 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
We can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. If you haven't written that down in your notes, write it down. Hebrews 11:6. It seems to be the verse of the hour for mm-hmm. us right now. Without mm-hmm. faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who believe must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so the whole goal is to seek God, and that's what we're doing. So let's get back to Joshua here. Here they are. They're on the other side of the river, and God says to him, I'm taking you. Get everybody ready. Get them moved right up there by the river. Get them all ready. And it's flooding, And you've got to think that 3 million people, and that's about how many there were at this time, 3 million people, there had to be some people, some skeptics in that crowd going, yeah, really? We may be camped here a long time, because how are we getting across that flooded river?
Right.
That's human nature.
That is human nature. That showed the people who didn't have faith.
Right.
And you need to have faith. Because Joshua knew he heard from God.
Exactly.
He heard from God. He knew he spent time with God. He heard from God. And, if you're in a situation where you can trust your leaders, because quite honestly, not all leaders in churches can be trusted.
Absolutely.
I've encountered some of those.
Right, sure.
And that's reality. But
right.
in most cases, they can be trusted. And, if the leadership feels a direction to go with a particular church or a particular activity or
right.
whatever, the people in the church need to rally behind, have faith,
right?
Because they can trust those pastors,
right.
have faith, and move forward as the pastors are moving forward.
Absolutely. It's what's happening for us right now.
It is what's happening for us right now.
So here are the children of Israel now. God tells Joshua, have the priests go first. Have the priests. And we are all priests, kingdom priests in this day and age. We are not, you can pray directly to mm-hmm. God. You do not have to go through a human priest to get to God. And so often people, they get hung up on that, man. They don't feel that they are worthy to pray and talk to God. But that's just so far from the truth. We are very worthy to pray.
We are very worthy,
Because of what Jesus did.
Yeah, because it's just a trick of the enemy.
Right.
We can go straight to the Father.
Right. Right.
The Word says we can. We do.
We do.
We do.
So last week we took us through the beginning part of Joshua 4 where the priests go down and follow Joshua's direction. They put their feet into, they just touch the water with their feet. The minute, it's interesting, the minute we do something that we are told to do, okay, I love this principle. They followed what Joshua said. Okay, priests got the Ark of the Covenant, which is the symbolic of the presence of God, and they had it on their shoulders, and they stepped and they touched the water, and the minute they did, the water stood up 20 to 30 miles back up the riverbed, and it stood up as frozen pillars of water.
Mm.
Okay, it stopped. It stopped, did not. And the riverbed was immediately dry. Now, you talk about a miracle, Nan. Mm. That's a miracle.
That is a miracle.
But there was no other way for them to get across. So they had to have a miracle. An ordinary set of circumstances would not have done.
No.
Would not have worked. There was no way to get all those people across that river. So praise God, he did perform the miracle, mm-hmm. very timely. And we talked about it last week. If you missed last week's show, catch up. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and listen to last week's show so you can kind of catch on to some of those things maybe that you're missing. So the soles of the priests did that, their feet. They stood in the Jordan River while 3 million people walked across. So now let's go to verse 15 of Joshua 4. God told Joshua, command the priests carrying the chest of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Now that was after all 3 million people had gotten across. Then God said, okay, the priests can come out. Okay. And they did. And now I'm in verse 18, I believe, of Joshua 4. They did it. The priest carrying God's chest of the covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan. As soon as the soles of the priest's feet touched dry land, the Jordan waters resumed their flow within the banks just as before. We have a reverse miracle. at first the water stood up and the ground was all dry and they all got across. Then as soon as the priest get out of that riverbank, get off of that riverbank, get out of that riverbed is what I'm trying to say, bam, here comes the water. How? Can you imagine standing there watching all this, Nan? I think this is just amazing. Mm-hmm. I love this, to see this, what happened. And so then they came up and they came out of the water. Verse 23 of Joshua 4. Yes, God, your God, dried up the Jordan's waters for you until you had crossed. Just as God, your God, did at the Red Sea. Same miracle, okay? Mm-hmm. Which had dried up before us until we had crossed. This was, now, this last sentence of Joshua 4 is very important. Then we're going to bring Carol in here. I love this last sentence of Joshua 4. So, so important. This was so that everybody on earth would recognize how strong God's rescuing hand is, and so that you would hold God in solemn reverence always. So the point here is that this miracle was so everybody would know that God is that strong and that that able to get done what he wants done. But it was also this whole thing of following the priests. The priests went first with the presence of God in the Ark of Covenant. It's symbolic of the anointing of God, which is his presence. And the people followed the presence of God. Just like when they were going in the wilderness from Egypt, they were following the cloud by day and at night the fire behind them. Okay. So God led them on that journey. And here he is. He's led them through the Jordan River. And now they're all on the other side. Carol, talk to us about that. Praise God. Are you there? Let's see. We're going to find her. Here we go.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Carol.
Hello. How are both of you?
You're doing good. How you doing,
you're
Carol?
Good.
Well, if I weren't so aggravated about the lightning hitting the modem, I'd probably be a hair better, because it is really, as you were talking about your phones and so forth, and I depend on the computer for reference and writing and stuff. So, but the lightning hit it, and it didn't hit the house, and it didn't hit any person. So by God's grace, I can live without it for a while.
Exactly. Yeah, but at least you're able to talk to us on your cell phone and make do, and we're going to hope that you get that fixed right away.
So, well, it's supposed to arrive. It's sitting in Atlanta. I believe I could walk over there and get it faster than they will deliver it. But, you know,
probably so.
I just have taken this time to, it happened Friday night about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I've just taken this time to sit back and really enjoy my books and reading and and studying. And I have a new Bible that I have acquired, and it's an interesting Bible, so I've been enjoying that quiet
good.
Time.
Good. It's
so
nice to have that time.
In the presence of God, you learn so much.
Absolutely. And, you know, what we're talking about here in Joshua, this is such a huge miracle, and those children of Israel had to really reach out in faith to get, you know, to cross that river, that dry riverbed, and get to the other side, don't you think? I mean, that was a huge step of faith.
It is a really big step of faith. And, you know, at that day and period of time, to be following his orders the way that they did, it's is remarkable.
Oh, it is. And Joshua, being the leader, had heard from God, knew where God was taking them, into the promised land, but it took a lot of courage and faith on his part, don't you think, Carol?
It took a lot of courage and faith for any of them to walk behind the leader.
Yes.
You know, when especially when the leader didn't know exactly what was going to be happening and was given the messages as he went along.
Right.
You know, it takes a great deal of courage to be a leader.
It does.
But Christ appoints his leaders.
Right.
I don't care what the organization is or whatever. I really feel that Christ will place the right person that needs to get the work done.
Right.
Or what needs to be done.
Right. And we see that with Joshua here. He had to step up to the plate. Moses died, and he was the second in command, and it was time for him to take a big step of faith. And Joshua was the warrior child that was going to be the one that was going to conquer these seven kingdoms in the promised land and give the children of Israel their rightful inheritance that God had promised Abraham so long ago. But, you know, Joshua had to step out in faith here, Carol. I mean, this was huge to say, okay, priests, go down there.
Don't you know it was scary for him? Because his mindset was different at the time before this happened.
Yes.
You know, I mean, here was Moses, 120 or so, and it looked like he was going to continue to go on. But the plan, that wasn't the plan.
That wasn't the plan.
It wasn't God's plan.
Right.
It was to take a man who had military knowledge, who had courage and strength and faith, and was a natural-born leader to the people.
Right.
Looked up to him, and for him to lead them further.
Exactly.
In God's world, we all have our place.
That's right.
We all have our reason for being.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the gifts that he has given us.
Right.
Some people never take the time to discover any of those and to act upon them in faith and courage and strength and his wisdom.
That is a good point, Carol, because even with these children of Israel, they had to courageously march forward and cross that riverbed after they saw the water pile up. They had to go across it. And I would imagine there was some fear in the troops and the people of what's going to happen. What if it breaks loose, the water, and comes, and we'll all die, you know, just like in the Red Sea. There had to be some human fear going on here, I think.
Well, you said it, human fear.
Yeah.
Lack of faith.
Right.
You know, when we fear things, it is not... Let's see, how do I say this? When we fear an event taking place, we almost give it latitude to take place.
Absolutely. And you know what? We can talk ourselves into the biggest mess of fear and anxiety and panic you ever saw, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
But Scripture, throughout Scripture, you can find a verse, a chapter, a book to alleviate your fears, whatever they might be. But it's not going to drop in your lap on your most fearful moment and say, oh, by the way, if you read this, you'll be okay. You know, we have to constantly, as Nan said earlier, we have to constantly stay in the Word.
We do.
We have constantly got to realize that this book we call the Bible was written for us as well.
Amen.
You know, it's guidance, it's direction, it's curing illness. It's building your faith to a level that you know when God calls you out to do something, you have every power that you need given by him to perform the task he's asked you to do.
Well, that is so true. I'm glad you said that, because the basis for this show, the basis for the ministry at Beacon of Hope all these years, and our individual lives, is the power of the Word of God. And it says over in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is given by God. It's God-breathed to teach us and to correct us and to lead us in righteousness. You've got your King James there, right? And
yes, ma'am.
I memorized that in the King James a long time ago. I believe it's 2 Timothy 3:16. See if you can find that and read it to us in a minute. Because, Carol, that what you're talking about is exactly right. It's the Word of God that we're teaching today, that we teach every week on the show, that gives people the ability to be courageous and strong and step out in faith and not let the circumstances get us down. I think she's found it. And then I'll go back to you, Carol, for your comment. Go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:16.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, let's go to 17.
Go on.
That the man of God may be perfect.
Yes.
Thoroughly furnished with all good works.
Woo, isn't that good? So God gives this scripture and he tells us, and he did with Joshua. And you know, all the way through, God had been talking. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. They had the Word. And the Word would tell them continually, be strong, be courageous, step out in faith, do what I've called you to do. And these people, the children of Israel, had a chance to walk across a flooded river on dry land to get into the place where God had them. Carol, that's to me just wild. I love it. I love it.
It is wild. And even today, when we allow ourselves to think of that event taking place,
right?
I can imagine, especially people that are scared of water and lakes and rivers and streams and oceans and won't go near any of them.
Right.
To be able to be called across, you know, come on, it's safe, all right.
Right.
The water, when's it going to come? When's it going to break loose and drown us all? Is this just folly?
Right.
No, it's faith.
No, it's faith.
Nothing to do with folly. It has everything to do with faith. And being able to know that when the Lord taps you and puts his hand on you and gives you a job to do, you step out in total and complete faith.
Amen.
Everything will fall into place. And then when the task is done or completed, or whether it goes on another 10, 20, 30 years, you can stop and sit and look back, read your journals, look back and say, he carried me through it all.
Amen. Amen. And that's what he's doing for us right now at Beacon of Hope, which we'll talk more about. I'm glad you brought that up, Carol. Let's look at Joshua 5, because the minute they get across the Jordan River, this is the last part of chapter 4, God tells Joshua to take one person from each tribe, there's 12 tribes, and to have that person go back into the riverbed, okay, and get a stone right from the place where the priests were standing with the Ark of the Covenant, and to take it to the other side and to the Promised Land side, the east side of the Jordan, take that stone over there and pile those 12 stones up and make a memorial. Now, memorial is something that you look at and you go, that reminds me of that. A memorial reminds you, right? It's a memory thing. Okay, so in New York City, we have the memorial for the everything that happened on 9/11. When in Washington, D.C., we have the Lincoln Memorial. We have the Washington Memorial. We have the Statue of Liberty in New York. We have all those memorials that we go and visit on vacations. Nan, talk to me about that, because that is reminding us of greatness past, right? The memorial.
Yes.
Jefferson Memorial, for instance. Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
I always loved studying Thomas Jefferson in school. But go ahead.
Well, that is important to have those memorials in our lives. And, you know, we can reflect back on, I remember when God did, I mean, I know some things in my life I can look back and go, I remember when God did, you know,
yes,
did such and such.
Yes.
Another thing, I mean, obviously it increases our faith,
right,
by having the memorial. And something else that it does is when Satan tries to come against you and say, God has promised you that, but you're not really going to have it. You can,
right,
look back to the memorials that where God has, things have happened in the past.
Yes.
And reflect on that and say, well, you know, he did it then. He'll do it again.
He'll do it again. And that's why the journaling.
Right.
And we're doing this at Beacon of Hope. And Carol, talk to us about this, because you and I have lived long enough now. We're just a tad bit older than Nan here. But we've lived long enough that we've got memories from the past of things when God answered prayer and took us into a new day in our lives and brought us out of something to bring us into something new, right?
Indeed, I do have memories. And I often reflect on them because maybe at the time, especially when I was younger, maybe at the time I did not realize it's really where God carried me, or God led me, or God fed me or protected me. But now that I'm a little long in the tooth and gray in the hair, I realize that my entire life has been directed by him.
Yes.
Did I step out sometimes and do things Carol's way? Of course I did.
Of course.
I was young. I was inexperienced in all of the ways of the Lord, and I did things that were not bad, but they certainly were not something you want to walk around telling everybody about either, you know. It's when you, especially because I disobeyed what I knew God was saying to me.
Yes.
I disobeyed it because I was going to do it my way, humanly, because I had to be right. I was 19, 20, 25, 30, whatever. Didn't I have enough life experiences to dwell on those events and do them? No. I picked up Scripture. I have lived with Scripture since,
amen,
I was a very young child.
Right.
It has always been my solace, my go-to book. You know, y'all were speaking earlier about having to have your phones and this, that, and the other. And I was sitting here thinking, since I'm sitting here with no email and no web of any kind.
Yeah, you have no computer. How's that feel?
Oh, and I've got my phone plugged in to charge, and I'm sitting here thinking, if I had something taken away, what would hurt me the most? And if someone took my Bibles away.
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
I would be totally
absolutely
wrong.
I know. Me too.
I would have to fall back on those memories that we were just talking about.
Exactly. We fall back. That's why we commit scripture to memory. That's why we write in journals. When God gives you that rhema word we were talking about earlier, when a scripture jumps off the page at you, write it down so you go back and you say, oh, this is what God did. This is so interesting to me that we're talking about this, because I found a note in one of my old Bibles that I was preaching this same stuff in 1988, these few chapters. 1988, interesting year, when I pastored in Indiana. Then again, a couple years ago in 12, I was preaching this same type of thing right now. And here we are in 14, and we are living it. Mm-hmm. I mean, living it like never before, and stepping out in faith. Nan, before we do this next song, I want you to comment on just this amazing ability that Joshua had to move forward in faith, and not, we don't see him questioning God, we just see him acting decisively. Talk to me about that before we do this next song.
If only we all could move forward like that every time the Lord, you know, leads us
right
into doing something. You know, and if people, us, maybe don't all the time do that perfectly.
Right.
And I would encourage people not to beat themselves up because of that, because they are human, you know.
Right.
But the best that we can do in following what God is leading us to do and telling us to do, you know, Joshua was a bit against a very large obstacle, a river. I mean, can you imagine? You know, he's got 3 million people behind him. He's like, okay, God, you know, you led me here. I know that you're going to take me on. You told me to do this. So I know
big
it's going to work out.
Big step of faith.
Big step of faith. Big step of
right.
faith.
But we got to do it when God calls us to do. And our enemy is always going to be fear. Fear is the opposite of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is what holds us back. Carol was talking about that fear in a minute ago. We're going to do this song that I planned right now. And I planned this a couple days ago. Had no clue we'd be in this place in our discussion. This is how the Holy Spirit does it. And Fear Not, My Child by Carmen.
Then was afraid to try once more. Fire in my soul had fled. That's when Jesus came and said,
my spirit gives the strength you need to raise you up and to succeed. Discouragement is all you find.
eyes on me.
Praise God. Fear not, my child. Couldn't come at a better time in the show. Nan's got a poem that God, Talk to us, Nan.
Fear not, my child, for I am with you. Totally trust upon me. I'll lead you into what you're to do. Don't look at the obstacles, but rather solely look at me.
Amen.
You will have your miracles. In my time, you will see. Fear not. Do not have doubt. All things will work out for your good. Totally trust upon my words, then do those things you should. Praise and, you know, when he gave that last verse, do those things you should, I thought, you know, if Joshua wouldn't have had the priests put their toes in the edge of the water, they just kept standing at a river.
They'd just been standing at a river.
You know, when God makes us promises, yes, we have to have faith and believe. We also have to move in the things that he's directed us to do. Whatever it may be, you have to do those things in order, you know, it's contingent upon you responding back, doing what he's leading you to do. And sometimes some of those things may seem a little bit wild and crazy. I can't think of anything offhand except, you know, Jesus, when he healed the blind man by using sand and spit, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of wild and crazy.
But not necessarily some of that, but whatever God leads you to do, you know, whether it's to talk to someone, to maybe get together, to start a youth group at a church, whatever it is, they need, you know, we have to do what he's directed us to do in order for the miracles to happen as we trust
him. It's obedience. It goes back to Isaiah 1:19 that we talked about this morning at church. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. Let's go into chapter 5 before I get back to Carol here. In chapter 5, they've crossed the river. This is Joshua 5. They're on the other side. They've had a huge miracle. They're over there. And instead of a party, they have something rather huge happen here. God says, okay, you're all over here safely. You've seen the miracle. Now we're going to circumcise all the males. Now, God, circumcision was and is an outward sign of the covenant of God with a people. Okay. And God had, clear back, had Abraham circumcise. And, you know, all the way through, you see circumcision, and it's spiritually, it's talking about the cutting away of the fleshly ideals and things that we think should be the way things should go. Circumcision's talking about separating ourselves unto God. And here in Joshua chapter 5, the beginning 6 or 7 verses, Joshua says to everybody, okay, all the males are going to have to be circumcised because the ones who came out of Egypt 40 years ago were disobedient in the wilderness. They went around the same mountain over and over again. And so now God is working with a new generation of people, people that will say, all right, I'm going to let you, God, cut away the junk in my life. If that's fear, if it's anger, if it's hostility, if it's rage, if it's self-pity, whatever it is, God wants to cut that stuff away. Talk to us, Carol, about this. This is a process, but it's also, it's a process, but it is also an event. And I wrote this on the board Wednesday night when I was teaching on this separation, which is just really sanctification, which means you're separating yourself to God for what he would have you do. It's a one-time event, but it's also a lifetime process. So talk to us about that, Carol. This was a one-time event where they circumcised all the males. It was not a party.
No, and I'm quite sure it wasn't a party for the people that were being circumcised.
Exactly.
It can be extremely painful, but not only physically painful, but I'm sure in some cases if some of these men, of course, were not little boys anymore.
Right.
And to be circumcised at an older age is an extremely physical, painful act.
Yeah, I'm sure.
As well as an emotional act for a lot of people.
Right.
But I think it's an act of surrender.
That's what this is. It's an act
it's
of an surrender.
Act of saying, I surrender all. I surrender whatever I need to do, God, to be really connected with you in very seriously, profound ways.
That's what God's doing right now, Carol.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. Nan just was talking about Beacon. I think Beacon is being circumcised.
Absolutely.
And I think we're moving into a different direction.
We are.
God has said, you've done what I ask you to do.
Yeah.
And you've done it with great circumstances of grief and great circumstances of joy.
Yeah.
It's time for you to be circumcised as a church and move to the direction that I'm now heading you.
I agree with you, Carol, 100%. We have been, for 13 years now, it'll be 13 years next month, we have been Sunday morning, Wednesday night. We have had services. We've moved. We were in Tampa. We've moved to Dunedin. We went to Clearwater, and we've stuck in Clearwater now for a few years. But it's a new day for the ministry, and it is requiring change, and it's not easy for people to change. We talked about this last week on the radio, but Nan, would you talk on that before I get back to Carol on that? It's not, people don't like change, do they?
No, I don't.
You even told me that we're going to Friday nights for our big service, one service a week. And you even told me you like pizza and movies on Friday nights.
Yes.
And I told you, I'll have you out of church by 8:30-ish.
Yeah, I told you it's too late. I'd go to bed by then. No, you know, we need to be faithful in attending
right
where the Lord is
right
teaching.
Yes.
And he's teaching through you. And, you know, regardless of I know, like, my roommate's like, oh, Friday night's a good night for me. And I'm thinking, I like pizza and video on Friday night, you know. But it's going to require change, a change of a mindset, a change of at the end of my work week, which ends on Friday at 3:30, rather than going to the house and or figuring out a video or whatever, it's just going to be different. And
right.
It's stretching me, you know. I'm in. There's no question about that. I'm in. But it's just, you know, Friday night.
It's stretching.
It's stretching me a little bit.
Carol, don't you love it how God stretches us from the old way of doing things into the new way?
I think he does a marvelous job, and it's a good thing that we have elastic skin.
It is, isn't it?
Because it stretches a little bit easier. But you see, God is not only calling the church out, but, man, God's calling you out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know what you like, Nan, and you can have that, but I come first.
Right.
And I'm so thrilled to know that in your heart that you know God comes first.
Yes.
And that you will enjoy this stretch. It'll be aggravating at first in some circumstances. It might even be inconvenient at times.
It's...
But he never puts us in a place of comfort that we can sit and lollygag around and do nothing.
That's right.
He brings us to new vistas every single day, every hour of the day.
Absolutely.
If we pay close attention.
Absolutely. And
he's bringing somebody to our mind for prayer. He's bringing somebody to our mind to go help. So we are still, even if we're at work, if you're involved in the most intricate part of your work, all of a sudden a name creeps up.
Yeah.
And you know what you're supposed
That's
to do
right.
with that.
That's right. You're supposed
he
to pray.
Invades
yeah.
our spaces to keep us
Amen.
Always alert.
I love that, Carol. I've used that phrase for years. You and I both have. Invades our space. I love that because he does. And he says, are you willing to give this up for me?
That's
he does,
right.
But he gives you other alternatives. You can have pizza and video on Saturday mm-hmm. or Sunday now, Nan, except
right.
for when you're on the radio or listening to the radio
yes.
show. But, I mean, you know, there are other opportunities to enjoy the simple pleasures in life like pizza and videos that we all want to do, you mm-hmm. know. But God in his so wisdom says, wait a minute, I'm stretching you so that you move into more of what I have for you. And so you submit to my will. Comment on that, Nan, because Carol and I are going to pounce you if you don't say the right thing.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Both of them on me. That's pretty rough.
No.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, just how the way the Lord has been speaking in a lot of different ways.
Right.
A lot. lately with regards of that, of us turning ourselves totally over to Him.
Amen.
How committed are you? Will you go on Friday night? Or would you rather go out somewhere else on Friday night?
Right.
You know, you got Saturday night, you can go out somewhere and have dinner with a friend.
Sure.
Or whatever, you know, how dedicated are you?
Right.
And that's what it's going to come down to with maybe a few of the people. How dedicated are you to the Lord? Because
well,
that is where, this is the moving of the Lord.
Right.
There's not a doubt about that. So that being said, Friday nights, stretch a little bit. Come on over. It'll be okay.
Amen. But, you know, Carol, you and I both grew up, you know, going to church, and Nan did too. We've always gone to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. It's almost like it's a way of life. You know, we've always done that.
If you don't have it, it's almost like the best present I got under my birthday, under my Christmas tree. It's not there.
Right.
It's an absence. You know, Wednesday night to me has always been a, whoo, let's recharge. We got from Sunday, which was a recharge time.
Right.
And here we are at Wednesday, which is a recharge time. And here we go into the weekend, and gosh, there's Sunday again.
Right.
You know, and I really enjoy being at church. I mean, so many times pastors have said to me, you're here again? I'm in cleaning the church. I'm polishing the woodwork. I'm restocking. I'm bringing things in for the kids or whatever.
Right.
And like, you're here. This is where I choose to be.
Sure.
Because I feel like I'm doing something worthwhile.
Amen.
When I'm here. And it's not that I'm keeping myself out of trouble in the natural world. It's just that the natural world does not fit me at times.
But and all of that is true, and I agree with that. And yes, God has told us we're going to Friday nights. So, listening audience, come the first week of September, we will be in a new location, which we'll tell you about later. And we will be on Friday nights only for the Friday night gathering of Beacon of Hope. And it's kind of exciting because we're going to continue the radio show, this one that we're on right now, and I'm adding another radio show, which Bobby and I were talking about. I'm excited about the new show. It's going to be a drive time show on Thursday nights at 6 coming in September, and it's going to be a whole different format, and I'm not going to tell you about it right now. So just stay tuned for that, and we'll tell you more about all that come September. But it's this new day of moving into all that God has for us, and this is exciting, and we should embrace, just like the children of Israel had to embrace going into the promised land. They had seven nations to conquer, and they had to start with being circumcised, which means we have to start with allowing God to cut away the junk in our lives that's keeping us from the new day. And we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. So I want to get a couple announcements in real quick before we go to station ID. So if you are listening to us and want to comment, you can. My cell phone is in here right now. And you can write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, with your comments or your questions, and I'll check it periodically during the next hour. pastor@bohmglobal.com, which is my email address. If any of you do want to contact me during the week, and I will be happy to respond. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, is pastor@bohmglobal.com. Our prayer ministry is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Notice they're all BOHM Global. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHM. And about a year and a half ago, our webmaster Maxine up there in Georgia with Carol, we went to the global concept because we knew a year and a half ago that God was leading us in a new direction. We didn't know what it was going to look like, but we went ahead and set things in motion, and we quit using, even though it still works, we quit using that long .com, which was Beacon of Hope Ministries.com. That still works, but we are shortening everything so people can remember BOHMGlobal.com. So it's pastor@BOHMGlobal, pastor Jim@BOHMGlobal.com, prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. Go to our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com, and go there and get acquainted with the ministry. And we will be putting a lot of new things on the website here shortly with our plans. Woo, that was, I said a lot there. I don't
you
know.
Said a lot.
A whole lot. Okay. Let's go to station ID and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are a global. I started to say global, but no, we're global ministry around the world. We're so glad that this radio show does go on the website, tantalk1340.com. You can switch over there if you'd rather do that than listen on the radio, tantalk1340.com. Now we find that you can actually download an app, TuneIn Radio, right, Bobby? Tell us about that, Bobby, our engineer.
TuneIn Radio, download the app for iPhone, Android, all of them. They have it for all of them. And search Tan Talk 1340, and you can listen to us. Our stream, yes, on your phone, tablet, and everything.
Yep. Right, and that's such a wonderful thing. I mean, the reception's amazing. It's great. And tell people about it. Just tell them to tune in radio. Get that app, tune in radio, and listen to this show on your smartphone. So if you're not home on Sunday afternoon when we go live, it doesn't matter. You got your cell phone with you, and you can be wherever, sitting at the beach or whatever, listening to the show. Tune in radio. That's the name of the app. And then go to Tan Talk 1340 and get it live streamed into your phone. Carol, I love that. The ability technology has given us, just like right now, Bobby's recording this whole show and it'll be podcast and then it'll be sent by email. Technology is amazing. Sent by email to me tomorrow or tonight, if he sends it to me tonight. And then I send it up there to Georgia to you guys, you and Maxine, and you get it on our website, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, she does. Let me tell you, that's not my forte.
Okay.
But Maxine's forte is, you know, she is a webmaster for several different places and
right.
Churches.
Right. A lot of churches now.
So she does exactly get things where they need to go when they need to get there, you know, and I think that's a great ministry that she performs.
Oh, it is.
You know, not everybody can do it, and it's a ministry that she loves working with churches. So consequently, the people that enjoy reading and hearing Christian information, sermons, and just talks can go there on BOHM Global and see what's happening. She even has a lot of the older years back. Just push that little button and you can hear what several years back. When we have many, many.
Well, we have over 300 shows on there, is for what she tells me now. That's a lot of shows on our website, and we have a big search, I mean, a great big server, so it works very well.
Yeah, and none of them are stale. You know,
oh, no.
God, the messages of God, the directions that God gives us never become stale.
Good point.
You know, when you were talking about Beacon stepping out and being circumcised in a new direction.
Yes.
I referred myself back to Joshua 1:8. 1:9, I guess. I commanded you to be strong and brave. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged.
Amen.
I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
And I will be there to help you wherever you go.
Right.
Now, we can take that as a church. We can take it as individuals. And we don't need to ever step out in fear. I have people that say to me, you know, I've got a job interview and I am scared to death to go. I said, why are you scared? Well, maybe I don't have the right qualifications. Maybe I don't have the right look. I said, let me tell you what I do. When I have a circumstance like that, I sit in my car. I said, I've talked to God all the way there. And I sit in my car and I say, Lord, I need you to go in there with me. I need
Amen.
This, that, and I need strength. I need courage. I need wisdom, whatever it might be. And give me the gift of laughter and breaking ice. You know what? It's never failed. And that's what I tell you.
Amen.
When you take your fears
right,
and you place them in God's hands, they become faith-filled.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you can walk in and you can do whatever you need to do in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. And, you know, Carol, that applies to our listeners no matter who they are, where they are. That maybe they're not locally with us and a part of Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's fine. But wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God may have a new season for you. Some of you, this is for you right now. Maybe God's taking you into a new job or causing you to have a child, perhaps. Maybe he's taking you into a new loving relationship, or giving you new friends, or a new church home, or whatever it might be. Embrace the new season. Walk into it without fear, without trembling, without second guessing it, but just be led by God's Holy Spirit, because that will be your defining moment. And we're going to that song right now by the group New Song, Defining Moment. Love this song.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we will live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
song by the group New Song. Boy, I love those words. When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. When you step out in faith and do what God's called you to do. Go with us to Joshua chapter 5. And we have the children of Israel across the Jordan River now by a miracle. They have gone across, all 3 million of them, on dry land. It even says that not one foot got wet. I love that. And they get across to the promised land. They get over there. They are looking at the first obstacle, which is the city of Jericho. I believe we're going to be talking about that next week. That's what I believe God is leading us to do. And so they are getting ready to conquer Jericho, and it is a huge walled city, and it looks impossible. They're sitting there on the plains of Jericho, and they have just gone through an event of watching this wonderful miracle of God drying up the riverbed so they can all walk across. They get to the other side, and if you joined us just now, you'll have to go back and listen to the first hour of the show, because they get to a very important event, first event that happens on the other side of the Jordan, and that is circumcision. And that's when God says, okay, this is a whole new group of guys here on this side now of the Jordan, and the old generation has passed away. They all died in the wilderness. Now we have a new group we're working with. And so there is circumcision that takes place in the first part of Joshua chapter 5. And if you missed that, go back and listen to the first hour of the show later. So here we are. They've gone through circumcision, and now we are ready to find out God's plan for victory here. And it is huge. There's a lot of stuff happening in the first few days where they are camped on the other side of the Jordan, on the Promised Land side. We find the first thing that happens is this big circumcision of all the males. And that took a while for it to take place because you got 3 million people. And so let's say half of them are males. You got a lot of males to circumcise, and then there's got to be healing that takes place. So they sat over there. We don't know exactly how long, but we know that they were all basically healed up, and now they are ready to celebrate the Passover. And now I am in about verse 10 of Joshua 5. The Passover was Feast of the Passover had everything to do with the night that the children of Israel left Egypt, and God said, put blood of the Passover lamb over the doorposts, and he said, when I see the blood, I will not smite or kill that firstborn child or son like he did with the Egyptians. So the Passover is symbolic of the sacrifice that happened to get the children of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Now, skipping ahead 2,000 or 1,300 years from this point, because this is about 1,300 BC, Jesus comes to the earth as the Son of God, takes on a human body, becomes the Passover lamb, dies on a cross for us on exactly Passover Day, and exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. To me, this is huge, Nan. I love this truth about how God knows time exactly. We sometimes think that God's time is off. When we want answers a certain way, we go, God, what? You don't even understand. This is very important. God has perfect timing. Perfect timing. Because just like this, when Jesus died exactly at 3 o'clock on the day of Passover, when he was crucified and he died exactly at 3 o'clock, that was the exact moment that the priest would take the sacrifice, the lamb, and slaughter that. So Jesus was the Passover lamb. So does that just amaze you, Nan? I just like love God's timing.
God's timing is so perfect. But like you say, we don't understand or see his timing when we're waiting for whatever to occur.
We get all bent out of shape.
But,
right.
You know, we can look back later. You know, and see, we can see. There again, each time stuff happens, it builds our faith.
It does.
So then the next time when we have to wait on God's timing for something, we're more equipped for dealing with that because we've already been through the previous times of him moving in situations.
And realizing that his time and his plan is the best
perfect.
Time.
Yes.
And perfect. So here we have the children of Israel's now. They're across the Jordan. The water has gone back. And so there's this big flood going on in the river. In the riverbed, I mean, there's a lot of water there, but they're on the other side. They're in the Promised Land, so everything's looking good. Then they go through the circumcision, and then they go through time of healing. And now comes the day that they are to celebrate the Passover, which they did every year. The people of Israel, verse 10 of Joshua 5, continued to camp at Gilgal. Gilgal means separation and cutting. That's what that means. That's pretty important. That's pretty right on, isn't it? They celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. This is so interesting. Right out there on the ground, looking over there, they can see the enemy fortress in Jericho. Go the other direction, look behind them, they can see the Jordan River that they just crossed on dry land. And it comes to the evening of the 14th day of the month, and there they are celebrating the Passover. Carol, don't you love the way God keeps perfect time? I love this.
Well, I do. I think it really shows who is in control of everything in this universe.
Doesn't
now,
it?
We're impulsive. We want
right.
time to go our way right when we want it. We want any event that's going to benefit us in any way to be right when we want it. We're very impulsive about that. But here's the secret. He is very deliberate.
Amen, he is.
He knows exactly when things should come and when things should go. And so often people that I've spoken to, I need this by tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do if this check doesn't come tomorrow, or I can't get this, that, or the other. I said, well, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait, because if it's not his time,
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to wait because God is reacting in the lives of other people, other nations, whatever it might be, in order for his perfect, deliberate time and event to take place.
Carol, you're right on. And, you know, in my little journals that I've been keeping now for a few years, God has promised me a whole lot of stuff. Okay, he's promised me so much, and I don't even want to go into all of that that he has. But and I can look at my life right now and say, well, that hasn't happened, that hasn't happened, that hasn't happened, that hasn't happened. Yet today there was a word spoken, and it came through you. You came up to me at the altar, and you spoke a word that God has not forgotten all the promises. I don't know how much you remember of that word.
I don't really remember a whole lot of it because it came from him. But,
it came from him, but it was very, very strong that he hasn't forgotten.
It was very powerful. I remember that. I remember
it
that.
It was.
Very powerful.
And that he was moving us forward into this new day, and not to, and that the decisions to move into the new day and the changes were from him, and to not look back and be scared, you know?
As humans, we tend to not keep promises.
That's true.
So therefore, we are ingrained from the time we are small children to realize that even though something may be promised to us in our family, our friends, our country, our city, our state, we accept that promise with the condition that we know ain't never going to happen.
Grain of salt, right? We take it with a grain of salt.
That's right. We know promises are empty.
Right.
That's a very difficult fact for people who are just reading the Word of God and trying to understand where they fit with it and how it fits in their life. Hear this now. He is the promise keeper.
Amen. He's not just a promise maker, but a promise keeper. Amen. Nan, comment on that.
Well, I just thought of something that in real life that happened with me. My roommate and I, we're in a house, and there's a big oak tree that needs to be trimmed, which professionals are going to have to come do that. But there's a tree that needed to come down and trim up and stuff like that. So I called my father, and I said, may I borrow your chainsaw? Well, apparently the discussion occurred at the house after that. My mother's like, you're not going to really loan that to her, are you? My father called me Friday, or Thursday, when I believe it was, and said, is Saturday a good day to come over? I'm going to come over, and my son helped also. I'm going to come over, and we're going to do what you need to have done. Now, he's my earthly father.
Right.
But he came through for me.
Oh, that's a good.
He came through for me.
Yeah, that's
and he
good.
Did a great job.
Woo.
And he did a better job taking down that tree than we could have done, and it had probably taken us 2 to 3 times the amount of time it took. He knew what he was doing because he's done it before.
Sure.
And that can parallel to our Heavenly Father.
That's
he
good.
Knows what he's doing. He will come through just in time.
Oh, that'll preach.
So one of the things that happens in that circumstance, Nan, is when he comes through at the very last minute of the very last hour, he does it for one reason, to show that he is almighty, that he does govern this entire universe and every person in it, and that he will be exalted for whatever just took
Amen.
Place.
Amen. Amen.
Hour and the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, that fame and fortune and all that stuff won't go to any human being. It will fall to him. He is the decision maker. He is the keeper of all promises. He is very deliberate. He is true. He is truth.
Amen. And we've got to put all of our eggs in that basket, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Go ahead, Nan. She's trying. She wanted to say something. Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing that we.
Okay.
You know, he's. I mean, I can do that now with Beacon.
Right.
Because of what I've seen him do in my life and in other church lives.
Right.
Of the time that, you know, I've been in churches basically all my life, and I've seen him move in kind of interesting situations. And
right.
Because I could trust him then and see him move, I can trust him now and see him move. And he is moving. He is. It's not just that he's going to move. He is moving now.
He is moving now. He absolutely is. But we've got to be willing to let go of our security blanket. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday that I had been with Century 21 for 20 years. Didn't quite hit the 21 mark, but 20 years. And been one of their top agents in relocation. And Carol, you went through those years with me. And
well,
you know how busy I was with doing relocation for the corporate Century 21.
Yep.
And December 2nd of 2010, God said, turn in your keys at Century 21 and come over to Ruttenberg and start a new life where you are not involved in the corporate life, where you are trusting me more, because I was being handed, you know, buyers and sellers and all of that and doing all the relocation. But God said to me, step out in faith and let go of all that guaranteed income and trust me more. And I tell you, I've never turned back, never regretted having made that step. But there have been some times where I wondered where the next dollar was coming from. But I'll tell you what, it's all about trusting, Carol. Don't you think it's all about trusting God when you are being led in a new direction, like these children of Israel were being led into what was about to happen to them in the promised land?
I think it's like walking into the room, and you know it's not your birthday, but the table is filled with gifts and flowers and candies, and your name is on every single thing, and you go, oh my goodness, is this for me? And the person will say, or the people will say, yes, it is. What? Why did I get all this? And it's because he loves you. He wants you to know that you're being watched over, that he has been faithful to the promises that he has.
Amen.
And one thing I say all the time, and you've heard it more than your ears want to hear it, I worry nothing about money because I know the shepherd who owns all the sheep on the hill.
Amen. And he always does come through, doesn't he? You know, this discussion, Bobby, I want us to go to that other CD, the first one that we were using, 108. And we're going to go to track number 4 by the group Hillsong, Chosen as Mine. I believe that song fits here perfectly with where we are. And we love to let the Holy Spirit lead these shows.
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from him all that you'll never need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart is full of love for you. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious, you were on my mind as I died. My lovely, I count them.
Praise God. That couldn't be more perfect than right there, Nan. What did God give you as that song was playing?
Here's what he said.
Poem.
Poem? A poem. Hey, Betty, it's a poem. I am with you at this moment and will continue to be so. It is in these times and circumstances that you will mightily grow. Look to me and what to do, then move out, my precious child. You may only see the next step from it, but from it, that one, it will never hide. Oftentimes, I don't show you the whole picture, but look to me with much trust. Have faith, my precious child. To have the promised land is a must.
Wow. Praise God. And that is just right on. I love that. Those words in that song, that was to be right there. My father wants to bless you now. Know my voice. I'll never leave you. My heart's full of love for you. And as the children of Israel walked across the Jordan River and they went through the circumcision, now they're celebrating Passover. Look what happens in verse 11 of Joshua 5. Right away, the day after the Passover, they started eating the produce of that country, unraised bread and roasted grain, and then no more manna. The manna stopped. That had been God's provision up until that point. That was the old way of living every day. Manna in the morning, manna at night. And now, as soon as they step by faith across the Jordan River, get over there, go through circumcision, celebrate the Passover, the manna stops at that moment. And it says here, as soon as they started eating food that was grown in the land, there was no more manna for the people of Israel. That year, they ate from the crops of Canaan. It is time, dear children out there in Radio Land, for us to begin to eat from the crops of our promised land. It is time for us to get out there and be the soldiers that God's called us to be the ambassadors of peace and love, and eat from the bounty that God has for us. Eat of the joy. Honestly, Nan and Carol, I don't know any time in the years that I've pastored now, which has been a long time since 1985, I don't remember a time that I have felt this much peace and joy. I mean, yes, I'm going into uncharted territory. Yes, we're doing things different than we've ever done before. But I can tell you both, and my partner can verify this, I have more joy and more peace now than I have ever had in all my years of ministry. And God gets the glory and the praise for that. Carol, comment on that, and then Nan can.
Well, when we have finished the task, as the people did, they got to the promised land, they heard the word, they kept what they were supposed to do. And they'd been fed all along. Just little bits of the manna. Never enough to probably overfill their stomachs at
probably
any point.
Probably not.
And now they've stepped over into this new land,
woo,
and they've been given the milk and the honey and everything that goes with it.
Woo, that'll
That's
preach.
Happening. That's what's happening.
Yes, yes.
You know, we've eaten well.
Yeah, we have.
We've all supped, as they say in the South. We've all supped wonderfully.
Yeah.
But now it's time to take,
yes,
what we've eaten,
yes,
and what we've used as sustenance to our own body, step out,
yes,
and offer it to everyone else. But people would say, don't come to my church. You know, they're so unworthy. Look at those people. We are going to step forward and say, come to us.
Right. We're going out.
We have wonderful food for you. We have the word of the living God. We have the peace of the living God.
And it's not business as usual, Carol. And this is what God has continued to tell me over and over again. I'm going to be writing a letter this week to everybody on our mailing list. If you want to be on that, just write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. We'll put you on there. But I'll tell you, I already know the title of the letter. It's not business as usual. That's what's happening. We are in a new day. Nan talked to us about this because God is moving us and we are having to go by faith or else we are going to die on the vine. You know what I'm saying?
With the way that we're going and what we're doing, we won't exist without faith.
Right.
We have faith.
We got to have faith.
And there's a group of people, the church, that have that faith.
Yes.
You can see it and you can sense it.
Yes, you can feel it.
And, you know, and they discuss it.
Yes.
You know, and that is really powerful to know that, to see that.
Ooh.
And in part of all this, it's been that the church itself is coming into a new area. So is everyone individually, that God is doing a larger work individually,
right,
in the people also.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of like twofold happening there. It's kind of cool.
So here we are with the children of Israel and with us at Beacon, and we are moving into this new day, and we are letting God work on us and cut away the junk of our flesh, the fear, the anger, all of the junk that keeps us held down, you know, the past resentments and unforgiveness and bitterness. We're just cutting that away. God, do a good work in me. Clean me up, Mr. Clean. We call the Holy Spirit Mr. Clean. Do a good work in me, Mr. Clean. Clean me up. And now the children of Israel have celebrated the Passover, which is a reminder that God passed over those when he saw the blood. Mm-hmm. And it's the blood of Jesus over our minds, over the doorposts of our minds, that clears our thoughts, mm-hmm, so that we are not just mumbled jumble in our heads, you know, but instead we have clear, defined path and we know where we're headed. And here we are, and we've got Joshua in a very interesting place in Joshua 5:13. And before I go there, Carol, do you want to say anything about all of that we were just talking? And doesn't that song we just did, Chosen Is Mine, fit perfectly here?
Well, it does. When we realize that we are chosen of Christ because we have sought the relationship with him closer, and as we begin to fall into his arms, we fall more and more and more and more in love with him and,
yes,
his word. We see his promises in a different light. We are enlightened by his word.
Amen.
We are enlightened by his faithfulness to us.
Yes.
And we begin to realize he has a mission for every single one of us.
Right.
We may not feel equipped to do it, but he equips those he calls.
Right, he does. Yes, he does.
And I think the church is stepping out in such a way that those who have been true and faithful will be equipped in ways that will blow their minds.
Amen. Amen. Just listening to these radio shows, people need to go back and listen to the ones you missed or listen to them again. We have people in different parts of the United States that listen to them. This is their contact with us, and this is their church. So, you know, go to our website and listen to these and let your faith increase. Oh, my. Nan, what an exciting day to be a part of what God is doing here, moving us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary.
It's exciting. It's a great ride. It's a great ride. You know, piggybacking on what Carol said, I can remember there's been times in my life when the Lord would call me to do something, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't do that.
I can't, yeah.
And he would speak to me exactly what Carol said, whom he calls, he will equip.
That's right.
And if
you know, those words that you write, Nan, are not coming from you. I know that you know
that's
them.
Right.
They are holy words given to you,
right,
in response to your faithfulness and your desire to be even closer to God.
Right. That's exactly right.
Jesus. Those are words that are ordained for you to write and to speak and to share.
When that happens, Carol, in here in the studio, I mean, usually it happens during a song, and I see her pen start in, and she just, just writing as fast as she can. That's also the way God gives me words from him, and I grab my little journal and just start writing what he's telling me. And it is amazing how consistent it is with the scripture that he's giving, what we're teaching. It is, he does not skip a beat. He wants us to know where we're headed and what's going to happen step by step.
And his promises to us during the journeys.
Amen.
Every time we get ready to take a journey and stepping out in faith and moving in a different direction, accepting a new job, leaving a spouse that's somehow discombobulated and can't seem to live together. When we take that leap of faith and we step out and say, Lord, just show me where the road is. You be the headlamp and I'll be the one right behind you.
That's right.
When we feel and do those things, he does mighty things within us that we and our humanness could never do.
That is exactly right. And it's called faith. That's what faith is.
Yeah.
And he doesn't show us the whole the whole plan.
Oh, no.
He doesn't, because, you know, he wants us to develop our faith, and so we do that by trusting in him. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that's what we have to do. Trust, trust, trust. You know, it's almost like this ministry cycle for me, Carol and Nan. It's interesting growing up as a missionary's kid in Central America and whatever. And then came to a point when in our 20s, my husband and I, we started a singing group and we traveled every Sunday night, you know, different schedule. Every Sunday night we were on the road to some church in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. And the name of our group was The Trust Company. We cut an album. We were successful. God did some wonderful things, but it was interesting that we named it The Trust Company back then. And here I am now, a few years later than 25 years old. And, I think I was about 28 when we started that. And here I am a few years later. And this is really what we are right now. We're The Trust Company. Mm-hmm. You know, we are The Trust Company moving forward into the new day. Carol, isn't that kind of cool? Don't you think that's cool?
I think it's cool, and you're moving ahead in faith.
Amen, like we did then, you know?
You know, I think people that really love the Lord and work for the Lord and are called by him to do mighty and great works through and for him, we kind of support each other in that, because we know when some person's faith might lag or something, and we know that we have experienced the joys of their gift.
Right.
So we can say to them, what is troubling you? Why do you feel that you're not following God's lead right now? And sometimes we just need a kick in the pants by somebody that knows who we are in Christ and knows what we can do through him if we get back on track.
Carol, you've done that for me a few times, haven't you?
More times than one.
Well, there you go. Just say it. Yeah, come on. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. Just move forward, you know?
Oh, it's always been done in love and faith and with Scripture.
Well, sure. Sure. It has.
I know you're sick of hearing about the cattle on the hill.
I've been told that so many times through the years by you, Carol, when I've said, I don't have the money to pay this electric bill. I don't have the money for this. I don't have the money. And you will always say, God says that I'm the father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and so he can just sell a cow. And you know what? Here I am sitting here after all these years of trusting God without any guaranteed income ever, and here he is right there fulfilling my needs day by day, and he can do that for our listening audience too.
I have a cow story very quickly.
Oh, give us a cow story.
I was getting ready to start college to finish my degree at the University of South Florida. My first semester was going to be $143. I didn't, and
$143. Boy, those were the days. That shows you how old Carol is. When tuition for a semester was $143.
That was for one semester, for one.
What do you think, Bobby? Doesn't that show you how old Carol is? Yeah, sure does.
So I didn't have the money. I really did not have it, and yet I knew this was something I must do. So I had a black Angus cow, and I named her Florida. And she was the pride and joy. I just loved her. She was so sweet and would come, if I were in the pasture and I just called her name, she'd come running up, and we had such a deep human-animal relationship. So I said, Lord, I need $143.83. And he put it into me to call this veterinarian friend of mine. So I called him. And I said, he had begged me for years to sell Florida to him, and I would never. He had a pasture right next to mine. And I called him, and I said, do you have a minute to talk to me? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, Florida's for sale. He said, well, I'll give you $300 or $400. I said, no, you can have her for $143.83.
You should have made money on that, Carol.
He said, are you crazy? I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'm starting back to school, which he thought was really neat. I said, I want to finish my degree. And I said, that's what I asked the Lord to give me. And he was a very spiritual man. And he said, it's $143.83. And he said, any time you want to buy her back, it will cost you $143.83.
There you go.
I asked for a specific amount.
Right.
I knew I should not ask for $84.
Yeah. How about that?
Because he gave me exactly what I asked for.
Because he meets our needs.
He went to Dorsey to give me what I ask for.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God. We've got to go on with Joshua 5. Thank you for that story. That's great. And let's look at verse 13, and then this. While Joshua was there near Jericho, he looked up and saw right in front of him a man standing, holding his drawn sword. Joshua stepped up to him and said, "Whose side are you on, ours or our enemies?" Verse 14 of Joshua 5, he said, "Neither. I'm commander of God's army. I've just arrived." You know what? That was God Almighty showing himself to Joshua, as he did so many times in the Old Testament days and in the New Testament days too, showing himself in physical form, like God sent Jesus the Son in physical form to this earth. And this is one of what we call a Christophany, where God appears in a human form. And he did this. And he said, "No, I'm the commander of God's army. I've just arrived." And when he said those words, Joshua fell face to the ground and worshiped. I love this.
I love the part that where he says, "Take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy."
Oh, amen. We're going to talk about that in a minute when we get back after doing this song that we did this morning, and we did it last Sunday at Beacon of Hope. And I kind of feel, Nan, we'll be doing it again next Sunday.
All right.
"How Great Is Our God," yes, by Chris Tomlin.
"King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Thank you.
praise God. How great is our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nan, you got another poem sitting here. You just, boy, God just keeps speaking you through these songs, doesn't he? Talk
really,
to us.
He really does.
Woo, talk to us.
How great am I? Can't you just see this? Of my greatness, always praise. And of these opportunities, don't miss.
Amen.
Praise me now for the promises that I have made to you.
Amen.
My job is to fulfill these. Having faith is what you're to do.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, get on board. All of my promises I will fulfill. You can trust me, child. And on that, and that is the deal.
Yeah. Praise God. Good stuff. Woo. You're probably going to be typing some of these up, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Praise God. How great is our God that he actually just comes down from heaven. And, of course, we know he lives among us and in us. But in Joshua's day, he was around them, but he did not live in them. And I find this very fascinating that he appears in a form of a commander-in-chief with a drawn sword, because the next assignment that's going to happen is conquering these seven nations. And so here we have it, and Joshua is standing there, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God appears in bodily form in Joshua 5:14. And he says that as soon as the commander-in-chief, which is God himself, says, I'm commander of God's army, then Joshua fell face to the ground and worshiped. And he said, what orders does my master have from his servant? Joshua had an encounter with God right there. The next verse that Carol just talked about in verse 15 of Joshua 5, God's army commander ordered Joshua, take your sandals off your feet. The place you are standing is holy. Joshua did it. Whoa. Carol, talk to me about that.
The moment God speaks to you is his timing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he chooses to speak to you when he does.
Amen.
And he speaks to his servant when he's ready to move. So he was ready to move. He was ready to say, I am your leader.
Amen.
I will lead you where I need you to go, and I will be with you through whatever you endure.
Right.
And there are times in our lives as humans that we will question, where is God?
Oh,
I
yeah.
Don't know who he is. And that's when we really need to stop and look around us and say, there is no human being on earth that could create the place that I'm standing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw God's beauty this morning, and the way that he, sometimes I feel like God comes to me in the flora and fauna around me.
Right.
Looked out the big window this morning, and there was a baby deer in the front yard.
All right. That's what happens when you live in the Georgia mountains.
Walked around to the back bathroom and looked, and there was the mother, and they kept looking. Mother deer bring their themselves here to be have their babies born in our back property.
Wow.
And then they walk up to show them to us.
Wow.
Is that not God?
That is so God. Isn't that cool? Yes.
How powerful I am.
Mm-hmm.
Look what I have done for you.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah.
You know, and the flora and the fauna, no one else could create that.
Right.
And God wants to talk to us. We must realize we are standing on holy ground.
Amen. Amen. And God wants us to realize the sacredness of this hour.
That's right.
And for me personally, for Beacon of Hope and where we're headed, I see the sacredness of this hour. And I am absolutely in awe, Nan and Carol, of what God is doing and what the things God is saying to me through other people, through the scripture. I am in awe. I'm like Joshua. I am on my face before God, worshiping him and saying, how can this be? Just like Mary, when the angel Gabriel said, this is what's going to happen to you. And she goes, how can this be? Wow. This is really cool. How's this going to come about? And this is really what I am feeling right now. How's this going to come about? Dear listener, God wants to do such mighty, wonderful things to you, through you, to others, And he wants you to really understand the importance of this moment in time. Nan, talk to me about that.
Well, in this moment, you're talking about the awe-ness.
The awe-ness?
Oh, isn't that what you said?
I'm standing in awe.
And standing in awe.
I don't know if awe-ness is a word, but we can make it a word if you want to. The awe-ness of it, yes.
I was thinking about this morning's service. Mm-hmm. I know that you know the way that it went at the end. I was like, It was so just... There were some of us that were just standing in awe.
Yes.
Service was over. We'd taken communion.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Some had left out. But there was a few of us still in there.
Just in awe.
Like God was just.
Yes.
His presence was. It was like, what is he going to do next? And I didn't want to leave.
I know.
It was like, I'm not leaving till we leave because there's no telling what's going to happen in here. I'm going to stay there and be part of it.
Well, when I sat down on the platform, you know, and I'm having a hard time dealing with that, you know, letting go of my platform. Yes. I don't want to sell it, but I guess I'm going to. But anyway, I was sitting down on the platform just in awe myself mm-hmm. of what God had done in the music and mm-hmm. in the word that day. And then one by one, different ones began to come and individually sit beside me mm-hmm. and receive ministry. Mm-hmm. And Carol was so beautiful. I was just sitting there, resting and relaxed. And one by one, they started coming and sitting down. I put my arm around them, began to minister to mm-hmm. them. It was just a moment of, it was a moment of awe. Mm-hmm. It was because it's not just happening in the ministry that we're moving into a new day, but it's individuals.
Right, exactly.
You know, Nan, you're not the same person you were 4 years ago when I met you.
Oh, Lord, no.
Carol, you're not the same person that I met, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago. None of us are. I'm mm-hmm. not the same person by any means that I was a year ago. I am in such a much better place with God and a deeper walk with God than I was just a few months ago mm-hmm. because God is doing, this is holy ground. This whole time that we are right now finding ourselves in. Carol, comment on this. Wow, our time. You've got just a couple minutes, girl.
We've all stood on that holy ground.
Yes.
And you know that, I want you to understand what God just said to me. It's that platform is not yours.
Right.
It never has been yours.
Right.
It was his.
Yeah. Time to let it go.
And its usefulness for you in the ministry is completed.
It is.
Now you will be standing on holy ground wherever he places you.
That's right.
And he will always be there beside you to love you, to give you courage and words and to always guide you.
Amen.
Now, instead of standing on that ground, you'll be walking arm in arm with him.
Amen.
You and Jesus will walk along the road together.
Exactly.
And you will minister to the fallen. You will minister to the downtrodden, to the sick, to the brokenhearted, to those who have no place to go and nothing
Amen.
To eat. You will bring the manna from heaven, and he will show you every step of the way what he wants you to do.
Amen.
This ministry is totally moving in a different direction by his grace, by his power, by his strength, by his love, and by faith. We've got to follow it.
Amen. I agree.
If we don't, then who were we to begin with?
Exactly. You know, I found out yesterday, Carol, that Sonia, you probably remember her. She was on the praise team when we were on Bush Boulevard in Tampa.
Yeah.
We had that beautiful building. Sonia was a beautiful, beautiful girl and had a beautiful voice. She passed away a few days ago of an unexpected heart attack. Not very old. She couldn't have been any more than in her 40s, if I remember right. She may not have even been 40. But she passed away, and I was thinking about that as you were just now talking. She stood on that platform, and she praised God, and now she's praising God in heaven.
On holy ground. More holy ground.
Exactly. And for Sonia's family and for all of us that don't know what tomorrow brings, we don't. Do we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? Because that's what it's all about. That is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what church you grew up in. It doesn't matter what church you go to. What matters is, do you have a relationship with Almighty God? Do you know when you're standing on holy ground with him? Do you know that he loves you so very much? Do you know that you're chosen as his child? If you're not sure of that right now, pray this prayer. Carol, I'm going to ask you to repeat after after me. Say it with Carol, and we're going to pray the sinner's prayer right now. And if you are not positive that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, pray this prayer with us. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
By faith in the name of Jesus.
By faith in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, the Son of God, who walked this earth and died for me.
Jesus, the Son of God, who walked this earth and died for me.
I believe that he died on a cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that he raised from the dead a living Lord.
I believe he raised from the dead a living Lord.
And I want all of my sin to be forgiven now in Jesus' name.
I want all my sins to be forgiven now in Jesus' name.
All the things I've knowingly or unknowingly done.
All the things I have knowingly or unknowingly done.
And were not pleasing to you.
That were not pleasing to you.
Forgive me now for every one of them, Lord.
Forgive me now for every one of them, Lord.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and my Savior.
Come into my heart and live in me forever.
Come into my heart and live in me forever.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Whoa. If you prayed that prayer with us, we want to hear from you. And we want to encourage you with the Word of God. And you can write me personally, Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, and let us hear from you, and we'll pray for you. We've been hearing from so many people lately that we don't know who they are, but you are out there, and we want to hear from you. Send your prayer request to prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Send your comments, your questions to us. Nan, final word, and then we'll get to Carol. We've only got a couple minutes, guys, actually. Quick.
I just want to encourage the people to do as Joshua, trust God, and believe the promises he's made them are true, and will come about.
Amen. Thank you, Nan. You're always a joy to be here. Carol, final comment.
The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And when you know the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, no fear can live within you.
Amen. Amen. And so we encourage you, get to know the Lord Jesus and begin in the book of John in the New Testament. If the Bible is new to you and you're not been one that's read it, start with the book of John. The New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. Read that book. That's where Jesus says who he is. I'm the bread of life, the resurrection, the life, all kinds of things. It's full. The book of John is full of the teaching of Jesus when he walked this earth. We are going to be here again next week, and we are going to be here gladly with bells on, right, Nan?
Right.
Declaring the word of God over these airwaves. And if you are in the Tampa Bay area, you can join us this Sunday and next at 10:30 a.m. And then there will not be Sunday morning services anymore, but we've got two more, 17th and 24th, 10 a.m. or 10:30, I'm sorry, in our location. Go to our website for directions, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North at the corner of Drew and 19. And always, you can join us on Wednesday night for Bible study in that same location for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be moving into our new space, and we'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. God bless you. Have a great week, and it's been a joy to be on the air with you today. Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Carol bringing you the Word of God from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. Hope to hear from you. God bless you.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.